Ramsey TV.
The purpose of dreams and sexual fantasies. Now see, I put sexual in there just to get the hits, but I am going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about all fantasies, not just sexual fantasies, but this sounds so good together. Sexual fantasies that I put hits in there. I'm doing this to help many, many people out there who feel guilty. Guilty about thoughts. Guilty even about their dreams. Guilty about their imaginations. As if they can really control any of these things to any extent. Like, can you perfectly tell yourself what to think? Or do you sometimes go into fear mode? Do you sometimes go into anger mode? Do you sometimes go into evil imagination mode? Oh, and I'm going to show you a mistranslation from the King James Version that really kind of messes up our fun down here. Or whatever fun we could possibly have. This is Martin Zender, and I would like to welcome you to another edition of MCTV. It is always my pleasure to talk to you. It's a highlight of my day. It's great fellowship. Speaking of fellowship, everybody who has not signed up for Richmond yet, Richmond Conference, Memorial Day. If you've never been to a conference, you've got to do this before the snatching away. Now, if the snatching away happens before the conference, we're good with that, right? We're all good with that. Okay, so I need you to text Greg Davis, unirec@protonmail.com. Proton mail. This is matter, proton. This is the stuff of life, the stuff of motion, the stuff of substance. Yes. unirec@protonmail.com. This is a sign that you're supposed to go to the conference. This is a sign. Text him and say, yeah, I'm going to go. That's it. Okay. You convinced me. I'm crazy if I miss this. So there you have that. Now, everybody has bad thoughts, okay? Everybody has bad imaginations, what we would call bad. But I'm telling you, it's human. It's human. Here's a verse for you. Nothing has overtaken you except what is human. I love that verse. If you feel overtaken by an obsessive thought or something, do you know why it's obsessive? It's because you're constantly telling yourself you can't think it. That's why it's an obsessive thought or an obsessive fantasy. You think you're being held captive by it. It's only because you let it captivate you. No, it's not that you let it captivate you. It's you let it think. You let it think that it has you captive. But I'm going to hammer you with a verse here. Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ frees you. For freedom, Christ frees you. So you are free from any guilt you might think, even for conscious thoughts, conscious ideas. For instance, some of you, I hear rumors out there, some of you fantasize about getting revenge on somebody that you don't like. You just fantasize about getting revenge. You can't seem to help it. And of course, I would say, well, that's not very nice. You know, love the person instead. But if you need it to work out some sort of inner turmoil, and if it somehow keeps you from doing the thing, you see, fantasies are a release, and dreams are a release. Okay, let's start with dreams. Let's start with dreams, because that's going to convince you of what I'm talking about. Can you control your dreams? Anybody? Yeah, I hear you. You wish you could. Oh, I wish you could dial up a menu of dreams, program them, go to sleep, and then, woo, they all come flying in. Oh, I'd love that. That'd be nice. You can't control your dreams. So dreams are so weird. Where they come from? They're God. It's God's way of exercising things inside of you that you're too, like, scared or guilty or worried to do it consciously. You see, it's like, oh, I can't think these thoughts consciously because I'm such a good person. So God's like rolling his eyes. He goes, you need to exercise this stuff. This is going to keep you from becoming a criminal. So God loosens your head while you're sleeping. God says, finally, this moron's asleep. Now I can bring out all this crap that this person is not dealing with or needs or something. I don't know. So all these things come out in your dreams. And I say to you, these things are of God. Even the worst, craziest dreams you've ever had. I mean, I bet. Maybe twice a year I have horrible, horrible dreams. I mean, it's dreams of violence and terror, and I can't stand it because I'm not a violent person. I'm a peace-loving guy. I'm a peacenik. I'm all about peace and love. Yeah. So I have dreams that just involve blood and death, and they're horrifying. And I wake up, and I thank God, why'd you do that? But it had to happen if we believe in the sovereignty of God. So there's something that needed to come out. Because, you know, we all have dark parts of our souls. We all do. And I'm going to go around the room right now and find out what your dark part is. No, I'm not going to do that, but you know what it is. And if it weren't for dreams, or if it weren't sometimes for even your conscious, you see, a fantasy is a conscious dream. It's a dream that you conjure up and you work it like a cud. Then you run it through your five-part stomach, you bring it back up, and you chew it again. And you chew it over and over again. And I tend to think that something about this is keeping you sane, and it's keeping you from becoming violent, from becoming a criminal. Some people imagine about committing suicide. They would never do it, but it's an outlet. Somebody told me that one time, and I can understand this. It was a relief for them to think that, I mean, their problems in life, trials were so bad that it was a relief to them to think that they could end it at any moment. Anytime they wanted to, they could actually end it. And that's true. You can. You can be done with your problems in 10 minutes if you have the means to do it. And some people like to think about that. I've thought about it. And it is a relief to think about. Some people spend hours thinking of how they're going to do it, how they would do it, and this and that. And they really, it's therapeutic. But it's not therapeutic if you feel guilty about it. You feel guilty. Maybe you're in the shower and you're having sexual fantasies about somebody that's, you know, maybe you're married. And maybe you're having a sexual fantasy about someone who's not your marriage partner. Oh, I mean, I don't recommend it. But if you can't help it, then there it is. You know, it just might keep you from cheating on your sexual partner. So, I mean, it's the guilt and it's the worry that whatever imagination you have, whatever, even in your dreams, to think that God is just rolling his eyes. God can't believe you thought. God can't believe that you're fantasizing about the neighbor lady naked. God can't. He's rolling his eyes. What am I going to do with this person? That's ridiculous. You're justified, okay? You're justified. And you're better off thinking about it than doing it. And you take all its power away when you just think about it and you spend five glorious minutes in the shower thinking about it, and then you're done with it. And you don't think about it again till the next shower or whatever. You don't even have to think about it again. See, I totally have thoughts and fantasies, even sexual fantasies. Yes, I do, just like the rest of you. It's true. The rumors are true. But I don't worry about it. In fact, I love them. I absolutely love them. And I realize that Jesus Christ and God gave me these things to help me. And so the big thing is to not condemn yourself in that thing which you approve. I'll put the verse down here. It's in Romans. There's a thing or things that you should think concerning them, like, oh, this is fun. God gave me this. And it's the guilt. It's the religious guilt that actually makes the thing into a monster. It builds it into something bigger than it would be if you just indulged it and went on your way. And just do it and go on your way. Don't obsess over it. And when I say obsess over it, I don't mean obsess over the thing itself. I mean obsess over the guilt of the thing. obsess over thinking that God is disappointed in you. God is rolling his eyes. God can't believe you would do something like that or think something like that. But hey, I would knock on God's door and say, hey, God, you're kind of like in charge of my dreams because I'm not even conscious. What are you doing to me here? God's like, I'm trying to. God says this to the religious people, to the people who are guilty, feel guilty about everything. I'm trying to deliver you from some crap in your life by exercising it in your sleep. You need this. So you're not smart enough to do it while you're conscious. So I got to do it while you're unconscious. The trick is to do it while you're conscious, which is also known as fantasizing or imagining. Some people go the other way, like they imagine being a movie star. This is really evil. Oh my God. But you know, yes, it's true. Some people sing in the shower because they sound good because of the reverb in there off the tiles, off the porcelain. I get it. I invented rap music. People don't realize this. I invented rap music. I was 10 years old before there was rap music. And I never could sing. I don't have a good singing voice. So I was in the shower one night and I thought, well, why do you have to sing? Why can't you just say songs? For instance, like, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream merrily. I said, why can't somebody say that? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Row your boat gently down the stream. Row, 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 row your boat. Row it gently down. I was rapping. I invented rap. I don't get any credit for it whatsoever. I invented rap 10 years, 20 years before there even was rap. So imagine you're a movie star. Go ahead. Imagine you're Celine Dion. Just go for it. You know, have fun. Don't feel guilty about it. But there's a verse that the Killjoys will bring to you. Killjoys. And it's I quoted out of the King James Version first from 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth. Oh, you throw that word exalteth in there. That's a real guilt swinger right there. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Ah, God, can I start Monday? I'd like to enjoy the weekend. Yeah, right. All right, this sounds like a tall order that no one could possibly do. And if you read it in the KJV, that's exactly what it is. But now let's look at it from the Concordant Version. Because the Concordant Version doesn't use the word imaginations, because that's a bad translation. Shame on you, KJV. And probably every other English version does that. So, what I want to do right now, I want to go to the Concordant Version. I'm going to go to the Concordant Version, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Let's start with verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful to God toward the pulling down of bulwarks. Bulwarks. The biggest bulwark, the biggest wall of resistance in your life is thinking that your thoughts can condemn you, or your imaginations, if they're off a little bit, can condemn you. It's Satan blaming, 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 sending on you guilt, guilt, guilt. That's the actual bulwark that we need to pull down, not your fantasy of being a movie star. That's just this little, it's mind candy. Mind candy. Sexual fantasies. Mind candy. Fantasizing about how you would kill yourself. Mind candy. Don't let it bother you. That's the problem. That's the problem, is when you let it bother you. It may be bothering of itself, yes. But don't be bothered about the fact that it's bothering. See, don't be bothered. Just like I always say, don't worry about being worried. Are you worried? Then just be worried. Don't compound it by being worried that you're worried. Next thing you know, you're going to be worried about the fact that you're worried that you worry. It's just on and on it goes. It's ridiculous. Stop it. Stop it. Before I go to the Concordant Version of this, do you know what I do? If I think something that's like really nasty, oh God, that's really nasty. Nasty in a good way, right? Okay. No, I'm not going to use it because I don't consider that a sin. Let's say I think of something that I actually consider a sin. Like, let's say I'm so angry at somebody, I just want to punch them in the face so hard that my fist goes through the frontal lobe, into the brain, through the brain, and out the back of the cranium. And I just want to that's it. If I did that, it would be sinful. So, do you know what I do with that thought? I crucify it. Do you remember? I've taught on this many times. Crucifying it doesn't mean I don't tell it that I'm never going to do it again, or I don't tell myself that I'm never going to think that again. It's just that I take something that Satan could easily hold up to my face and say, how could you think this? This is evil. To hit somebody through their frontal lobe? Put your fist through their brain, including the medulla oblongata, and have your fist go through the back of the cranium? Possibly around C1? And Satan hold that up to your face, rub it in your nose like dog poop. Smell it. You know what I do? I crucify that thing. That's why Jesus died for shit like that. I crucify it in that I don't let it yell at me. I just say, oh, thanks, Jesus died for that. And then that's it. It's done in 2 seconds. Oh, Jesus died for that. That's what's called crucifying the flesh. Crucifying the flesh is not trying to tell you how not to sin. It's what you do with the sin after it's manifest. I mean, that thought, it's a sinful thought. But I might indulge it, and then I just let it go. I said, oh, that sucked. Thank God Jesus died on the cross. Thank God, that's what that's for. Jesus Christ dying on the cross to take away your sins is so you could do that. So you can just let it go away, no matter how sinful it is. Let it go away. This is why the Apostle Paul could say, I live my life with a good conscience before God. He said that to Timothy. What? A good conscience before God? Wasn't this guy a killer? Yeah. How does he have a good conscience? Crucified that shit. Crucified. That's what that means, you see. All right, so I'm going to quote the King James thing again, because by this time you've forgotten all about it. Then I'm going to have to go. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All right, scary stuff. Now, Concordant Version, same passage. Pulling down reckonings. Reckonings. It's the overall way you think, not these little specific nasties that you indulge in. This is the overall how you think. Pulling down bulwarks and every height. No, pulling down reckonings. The bulwarks went before. I should start with verse 4 again. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful to God. Not fleshly. There you go. Our weapons aren't fleshly. So you're not supposed to fight this stuff with the flesh, because it's a losing battle. It's stupid. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful to God toward the pulling down of bulwarks. And the bulwarks, the big wall of resistance, is Satan holding it in your face and saying, you're justified? After thinking that? You have that sexual fantasy every night and you think you're justified? Oh my God, that's a bulwark. We pull it down, not by the fleshly means, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful to God. Pulling down reckonings and every height, elevating itself against the knowledge of God and leading into captivity every apprehension into the obedience of Christ. So there are Christians who if they knew of our sexual fantasies or of our imaginations of wanting to kill somebody or something like that, if they knew it, they would condemn us for it. And yet, nothing has taken you except what is human, and for freedom Christ frees you. They are actually the ones committing the heinous sin, because they are constantly elevating themselves against the knowledge of God, right? They believe in free will, eternal torment. They love the fact that people are going to be tormented for eternity, and that's their overall apprehension. It's not just a fantasy like they know that their will save them and that God is going to torture for eternity those people who just didn't have the wisdom they had to believe in God. So that is a height, that is an evil reckoning against the knowledge of God. We just have these little things. This is huge. This is nasty, truly nasty. But the Christians think it's fine. They don't think I got to crucify that, because they think it's well and good and holy and righteous. But it's evil and horrible and terrible and sucky. Leading into captivity every apprehension. See, that's what we want to do. So we lead into captivity every apprehension. What does the King James say? Leading into captivity every thought. My God. My God, no wonder we've condemned ourselves reading this out of King James Version. Bringing to captivity every thought. Now, the Concordant version says, leading into captivity every apprehension, the things you understand, bringing it into captivity, into the obedience. Don't sweat that word obedience. It's a two-part Greek word, two-part Greek word. It means under here, under, get the sense of it underneath the bedrock, meaning in here, just to hear. Hear what Christ is saying. Obedience of Christ is hearing Christ. The Concordant defines that word, that Greek word, as to hear and to heed, to hear. So this is what you think about God and Christ. It's not your little sexual fantasy about the neighbor, or it's not about dreaming about being a rap star or winning the lottery, you know. But the Christians are so upset about the fact that maybe imagining that you're winning the lottery, they'll sit in their chair all day and think about, ooh, what if I win the lottery? Look at all the things I spend my money on. It'd be so exciting. That's nothing. That's piddlings. It's the apprehension concerning the knowledge of God. That's the context here. Knowledge of God. Christians have thoughts that elevate against the knowledge of God. We have the knowledge of God, and within that knowledge of God, namely that for freedom Christ freed us, and nothing has overtaken you except what is human, we have our little mind candy enterprises and times. But our apprehension is, even while we're having these little fantasies and these little dreams and these waking dreams, also known as fantasies or imaginings, even though we have these, above that, the big thing, the thing that matters, is we have led into captivity our apprehension of God, into the hearing of the things said by Christ. And one of the things Christ is saying now, I hope through me, is that for freedom, Christ frees you. And there is now no more condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. No more condemnation. We're justified by faith, apart from works of law, or apart from fantasies, apart from dreams. And even if it was a problem, we can't fight according to flesh anyway. So we do what we can. Enjoy the nice, happy thoughts God gives you. Even the nice, happy thought of getting revenge on somebody. Maybe it's keeping you from actually doing it. We bring our apprehensions into the knowledge that Jesus Christ freed us for the sake of freedom.